you all absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff-arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and Luke Kreger. In this episode, Brad completely destroys Lance and any hopes he may have of lucking his way into the playoffs. John bends over once again and takes a paddling from Derek. The power rankings now show that what we've all thought all along, and that the Hacksaws are indeed top dogs. And in the mailbag, we discuss interesting scoring format changes that we'll vote upon in the coming offseason. Let's get into it. All right, you bunch of big-time nerds. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to jump into the last week's matchups, take a look back. And we're going to start with the game of the week, which, and by the way, I think we kind of predicted this the previous week. Levi and I said that this may be the game of the week, and it actually did turn out to be so. And that's going to be, it's what Plants Grave took on me here. And Levi, man, he really blasted out of the gate in this one, at least on Sunday, with 55 points from Goff. And then Gibbs gets 31 as well, as the Lions just destroy the Jags 52-6. And then JSN gets 35 as well. And then Pickens, you know, he hit his projection with 25. But the rest of Levi's team were below their projection, including a 9-point Thursday night performance from Devontae Smith, which we said no team had won in a given week with a player scoring less than 10 points on Thursday, and that held up. For me, Joe Mixon, Chase, Jameson Williams, and Tua explode, and I needed that because really the rest of my team was average or below. So I get the W, but not without some drama, as J.K. Dobbins brings it home on Sunday night, and I get the win, 263-237. But me and Levi did split the season series, and we now have a six-way tie for second place in the standings. Six teams are sitting at 6-5. But Levi, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, like I like some of the performances. Like Jared Goff had a bounce back game from the week before. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a boom or bust with my team. Like either they went up, like way above or below, like it's hard to say what's going on. Like I scored 237. I can't complain with that. It's a tough loss. I've been trying to get that seventh win for a few weeks now, so it's been a little frustrating. Devonta Smith, like I don't know, like I need to stop playing players on Thursday, like, because they just don't perform on Thursdays for me. Like I don't know what it is. Like I could have, I could have Derrick Henry against a bunch of paper bags and he'd probably pull a hammy or something. But it was a tough loss. We've been playing pretty close last like three or four matchups mm-hmm. we played. So I knew it was going to be tough. I thought I had a good chance of winning going into, I think there was like a minute left in the Sunday night game. I was up 41, and then J.K. Dobbins had the meaningless touchdown that reduced the Chargers' chance of winning the game. Like if he just would have went down,
right?
But I'm not mad at it because like Mixon had that huge performance anyway. Like even if he hadn't got that, so it would have been a lot more exciting. The 29, I never thought it was going to be enough against Mixon, but super close, moving on next week, I got another tough matchup, so I'm just trying to find that seventh win and stay in the playoffs.
Yeah, hey, aren't we all? And that moves me into a tie with you and four others. So, I mean, that big gaggle in the middle there, and we're all tied for second place. As Rob kind of hangs on by a thread here at 7-4 with at the top spot. So, these next three weeks are going to be interesting, to say the least. All right, next matchup we're going to look at is Slop Nasty took on the Intoxicated All-Stars. And Joey actually breaks the Thursday night curse in this one as he gets the W with only 3 points from Scary Terry on Thursday night. And three other players led the charge for Joe as Jameis Winston goes off for 41. And then Brock Bowers drops 45. And also he gets 34 from Montgomery. So those three guys really carry the load. For Jeff, though, Burrow and McConkey led the way. But just too many down performances as bonded RBs combined for just 33 points. And Mooney, Dowdle both pee down their legs for just combined 16 points. But I got to give credit to Joe on this one for plugging in Jameis and sitting Jordan Love. I think he would have got the win anyway, regardless of that. But still, he gets extra points throwing Winston in there. But Jeff, man, he just gets bad weeks from his running backs. And, you know, Joe hangs on here, 222 or 223 to 203. So, Levi, another instance here where the results lead us to a gaggle of 6-5 teams. What are your thoughts here on this matchup and going forward?
Well, like, Joey also broke the curse, so whenever I pick him, he loses. He's breaking curses all over the place. It's a good win. I think Jeff has been doing well lately. I would consider this a down performance from Jeff, barely cracking 200. Joey, you know, putting 222 was, you know, enough to win. But I feel like it's more disappointment for Jeff. Like, Bijan got 16. Yeah. Like, we were saying how good he was doing, and then that went away. Kyron Williams, only 17. Like, Mooney got hurt, I think, and left the game for a little bit. I think he's okay, but, like lost there. The only consistent performer he's had in this week, Joe Burrow, and you need a little more than just Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. So a good win from Joey. Like, he did it without Jonathan Taylor doing much and Terry McLaurin doing basically nothing.
Yeah.
That Brock Bowers pickup that from Rob is coming through too.
No, that is true. A couple of good pickups for Joe. I mean, like I mentioned, he throws in Jameis Winston, has a big game. Brock Bowers, he gets off a trade. So you got to give him credit for that. But
he picked up Brock Bowers off of waivers.
Off waivers, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Rob dropped him. Well, it happens. All right, we're going to move on. We've got another matchup to look at. It was the Purple Bleeders took on Victoria's Secret. And the first thing we should mention straight off the top is that the entire podcast, including Derek, we all picked Amanda last week to win this one. And I know we make a joke out of it a lot when we all make sweeping picks for one team, and that usually doesn't pan out. So just more evidence for that. So if we all pick against you, feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We are not good at this.
No, we're not. But you know, this should give Lance even more satisfaction with getting the win here. And he gets a W even with a goose from Kittle. But he was really taken to the victory circle by his quarterbacks and his defense. Amanda, however, gets good performances from Kupp and Carr, but Travis Kelce again lets her down with only 3 points. And in addition to bad games from A.J. Brown, Hopkins, and Pollard. But Lance gets a big W here, 200 to 191, and he joins 5 other teams sitting at 6-5. So, Levi, this makes Amanda now 4-7. Are you still confident in a playoff push with just 3 weeks remaining?
I think now it's kind of out of her hands. I mean, I think if she won this one, she probably within striking distance. She may not have needed to win out, but now she absolutely has to win and score a lot of points.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into when we're doing the picks, but now she's faced off against John next week. That's a loser leaves town match at 100%. So pretty disappointing. Lance came in and stopped the moving train that is Victoria's Secret.
Mm.
It came down to the Monday night game too. CeeDee Lamb needed 21 points. With the way the Cowboys have been playing, that wasn't a guarantee. But you could tell that they were just feeding him the ball. Their only way to move the ball. So I think Lance has to feel good about that he can still start CeeDee Lamb every week and be okay. George Kittle going out early, he's one with 9 players, or was it, or 10 players? No, he won with 9 players.
Yeah.
So, and crack 200 there.
Yeah, it seems like Lance has had a lot of luck this year. Or else he'd probably be 3-8 or 2-9 right now.
Most likely.
All right. Well, enough about that one. We got another matchup to look at, and that's Scoop's Troop took on the Cleveland Steamers. And Jason, man, he began the week on Thursday with 55 big ones from Saquon. And we all kind of thought that would be tough to overcome, and it surely was. And then Breece Hall chips in with 43, and then Puka goes for nearly 40. And then Brock Purdy, you know, continued his steady play with 27 as well. For Rob, Jerry Jeudy goes nuts with 47. And then Josh Allen gets 34, and so does Herbert. But Tucker Kraft gooses. Nico Collins' return was not great with only 15 points. So Rob goes down here big, 271 to 221, as Jason puts up one of the top scores of the year. Levi, Rob has now lost three games in a row. Is he starting to get worried?
When he got that seventh win, I thought he had locked it up. And now that, like, there's so many teams with six wins, like, there's some, like, scenarios where, like, he could be out of the playoffs. I would be a little concerned with, like, how his team's performing. This is one where we all picked Jason to win, too.
Yeah, we did. Actually, yeah.
So that curse couldn't even withstand that.
Yeah, I know.
I think Jason's team has come along. Puka with Breece and Saquon is, like, that's rough. Like, they're going to... Mm-hmm. Like, as long as Puka doesn't get kicked out of a game, he's getting, you know, 100 a touchdown. So, yeah. If he just gets one win, he's good, I think. He's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I think there might be this year the first time that I can remember that there might be a 7-win team that doesn't make it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
When last year we had a 6-win team that made it in the playoffs.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that's wild to think about. But I mean, especially considering how long Rob has been at the top of the league and top of the standings, man, would that be just pulling the rug out, you know, pulling the football away from Charlie Brown if Rob can't get into the playoffs here?
It's something that makes you love football. You
know? Or hate it. It depends on which side of that you're on.
Yeah.
All right. So, man, we got four matchups down. The standings are starting to take shape, but we got one more to look at, and that's going to be the whooping of the week next.
Lady and gents, the time you've all been waiting for with our final matchup between Jake Paul and Old Man Tyson. Sorry, Tyson, but you got whooped. Oh, wait. Sorry, wrong script. sorry about that. Lady and gents, our final matchup between Derek and John. Sorry, John, you got whooped.
Very clever there. Good job. Yeah, John got whooped again. This is 2 weeks in a row. And, man, we kind of knew that John may be in a little bit of trouble after Jaden Daniels only gets 19 points on Thursday. But John did get good games from Achan, Hill, Swift, and Joku. But, man, Dobbs, Keenan Allen, Cousins, and Aaron Jones were basically no-shows in this one. Derek, on the other hand, he gets great games from his running backs. And then St. Brown just did the rest with 56 big ones. And so this was another whooping for Derek, his 14th. He now has 14 whoopings. To put that in perspective, I have him in second with 10. Levi is 9. But this is John's 7th time being whooped, which actually ties him for the 3rd most with Levi, with 7. So, Levi, can John climb out of this mess?
He's got to start with, you know, facing Amanda and Victoria's Secret next week. I don't know. Like, his team just isn't consistent enough right now. I mean, like, maybe this shows how much we don't know about football, but we were saying, like, well, if John can get the Miami players to go, if he can get, you know, Swift to go, and then on Derek's side, like, Lamar doesn't have a great game, which, like, he only got 21, like, then John has a chance. Yeah. And that happened, and John still lost by 100.
And St. Brown said, not so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this is... I think it's more on just John... The rest of John's team just isn't there, like... Keenan Allen, Romeo Dubes. like, I mean, like, Kirk Cousins, like, it was a bad matchup, but you don't expect 7 points out of him.
Rough.
So, and then you played I guess the Chargers defense has been pretty good, but they're going up against the best offense. I don't know how much you could have got there, like, ideally from that Chargers play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that did end up not really mattering just because the other players. He's had too many single digit and low teen players to even do anything. And now John season's hanging by a thread.
It's on the brink. And Jason as well, and Amanda. So neither one of them are out.
You know, if John was here, if he wasn't fired, you know, as Jeff suggested, he'd probably say that his season's over. I can hear him now.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's not over. A 3-game win streak would not be, you know, some miracle. It's very possible. And it's one game at a time here, guys. John, you got to coach speak. You got to start breaking out the coach speak. You know, we're focused on
players meeting.
We're players only meeting. We're focused on Victoria's Secret, and that's it, right? We're not looking ahead. We're not thinking about, you know, going to the toilet bowl. We're thinking about winning this week, and that needs to be John's, you know, mentality. And if he's going to coach his players up, that's how he needs to do it. But I don't know. Maybe he's already thrown in the towel and his players are going to kind of read his body language and get whooped again next week. But at any rate, we'll see what happens. So we've got lots to discuss as we take a look at week 12, and that's going to come up next. All right, everybody, here we go. We are jumping into week 12. 3 weeks remain in the regular season, and a lot is on the line. For all teams, nobody is out yet. There's a, you know, 6-5 teams. There's 3-4-7 teams, and then Rob. And so these last 3 weeks are going to be critical to shake up the playoff picture. And we're going to start with the game of the week. Big matchup here as we have Victoria's Secret, who's 4-7, taking on Farewell to Hope, who's also 4-7. John is 7-3 all-time versus Amanda, and he did beat her in week 3 this season. But for all intents and purposes, this is an elimination game. The winner, you know, you still have hope for a run, but the loser will be prepping for the illustrious toilet bowl. And with that, John is going to have to break the Thursday night football curse again, as Joe did this past week, because Joku only gets him 4.8 points, and to boot, his defense only gets 10. But with the exception of Swift, I think the rest of his players are in plus matchups. So I like his matchups. And also like Jaden Daniels and Brian Robinson Jr. to rebound strong against Dallas. I also like Achane and Hill versus New England. And then Neighbors, if he gets healthy, I know he's questionable right now, but if he can get into the lineup, he's taking on the 26th ranked defense against wide receivers in Tampa Bay. But for Amanda, Kamara, Higgins, Shakir, and Derek Carr are all out on a bye. However, Kansas City does get a good matchup here with Carolina, and I would expect big games from the Mahomes-Kelsey stack. But in that same game, Chuba Hubbard, who's been a workhorse for Amanda, goes up against the number one rush defense in Kansas City. And Pollard also has a tough matchup as well. So John's at full strength. Amanda has too many byes. I'm taking John here.
Yeah, what you're saying all makes sense. I expect probably a lot of points here, which is kind of why I'm going to go Amanda, just because John already has two players that played and didn't do much. So, yeah. Like, now he needs 8 players that all have good matchups to come through.
Yeah.
I like that Kansas City's going against Carolina. I think they can put up some numbers there. Maybe it goes a different way, but I like that. I like AJ Brown against Rams and stuff like that. So give me Amanda.
I'm going to say John, just because Amanda is way too many buys for me to like.
Yeah. All right. So our picks are down, and that's a big matchup. I mean, winner goes home or loser goes home. And so I'll be watching that one closely on Sunday. Next matchup, Slop Nasty sitting at 6-5. Taking on Black Sunday, I'm also 6-5. The series between Jeff and I is tied all time, 5-5 apiece. And but Jeff beat me in week three this season, so I'm looking for revenge here. And both of us, I mean, both of us have big time players out on buys this week, as Jeff has Burrow, Bijan, Mooney, Aaron Rodgers, and Evan Ingram all on buy. For me, I got Chase, Cook, and Pitts on a buy, so it's, you know, that's tough for me as well. So this is going to be a test of who has the best bench. I do like Jeff's matchups this week, however, as Baker takes on the Giants, McConkey versus Baltimore, Pittman taking on Detroit, Marvin Harrison against Seattle. Those are all good matchups. But my matchups are decent as well, and I expect Kyler Murray to have a good game. I just don't want Marvin Harrison to go off there and steal a bunch of points. So, but I do have also have a good feeling about the return of Mike Evans as he's taking on the Giants. Of course, Jeff's got Baker. So we got a lot of guys that are connected here. And then I also like Jalen Hurts taking on the Rams. But I need something here from Laporta and or Waddle and hope that Eckler can give me something as well. But I'm taking myself here in a battle.
Yeah, this is a heavy buy matchup. Like, yeah. There's a lot of missing players here, and a lot both teams have to fill in players that they probably wouldn't want to play, you know, in a normal week. You have Austin Eckler. I mean, Waddle might not. He's probably like the name's there, but you probably aren't excited to start him. And then Jeff has Cooper Rush. It might be better to just have no one there. Maybe. You know, Rico Dowdle, you know, Zach Ertz. I think you have a potential of one of those players. Like, your players, they might have, like, a big touchdown or something. So I'm going to go with you. And I think that may be the equalizing factor. You have more explosive potential.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you here, Black Sunday. I don't like Cooper Rush. I don't like Dallas. I don't like Rico Dowdle. And I don't like Jeff.
And I don't like Lance's face. I mean, that's pretty much says it all right there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Good pick.
About this matchup?
No, just between in general. I was just thinking about things I don't like.
Okay. He's just popping your head.
Just popping. Yeah. And Jeff talks some mad smack on the text line about don't ever. I don't. What he say? I don't want the Hacksaws to ever talk about Lance's face again. Well, here I am, bud. And, you know, you're welcome on the pod anytime you want to. By the way, I don't think any of the Union Brothers have showed their face on this pod, their ugly faces on this pod yet. And so there's an open invitation, bud. If you want to get on here and get in my face and talk some smack, I'd love to look you eyeball to eyeball, son. All right. So now that we got that
out of the way. We'll have you on soon. It's just scheduling.
Oh, they're scared. They've been making excuses all year, so. It is what it is. All right, moving on past that crap. We've got another good matchup. We've got a brother bowl with the Plants 6-5 taking on the Houdinis, also at 6-5. Derek is 6-3 all time versus Levi, but Levi did beat him this year, earlier this year. And Derek has a few bye weeks going on. He's got Kincaid, Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas Jr., Chase Brown, and MVS, who's been a nice plug-in for him of late. So all those are out. And so I think Derek's going to need his running backs to come through again this week, as his receivers outside of St. Brown are a little shaky. Probably going to need Dell to do something. On the other hand, Levi's at full strength, and his matchups are pretty juicy here. So I like his running backs to have good games, along with Goff, Pickens, and JSN. But a huge game from JJ wouldn't hurt either. I think he's due.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Levi here, as Derek just has too many buys, and I think some of the explosive potential is there for Levi here.
Yeah, I'm the only real player that I'm excited that I'm not playing against is Chase Brown. Like, the other players have been okay. Like, Brian Thomas has been okay, but the Jaguars have been. So, like, I wouldn't say his buys are awful. I think more his matchups are what, like, give me, like, a little more confidence going this week. I wish Steelers had done more, although it just started, like, a blizzard yesterday. And, like, it was hard to get anything going and other than running the ball. So a little unfortunate there. I'm happy I got the points that I could get there. But yeah, I love my matchups for my running backs. I think I really need Justin Jefferson to do something. He was okay last week, but I need a big game from him, and I'm thinking that's going to happen soon.
Yeah, and you don't draft him for okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's due, though.
Yeah.
Levi, I can just feel it. I think this is his brother bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, and that would be a clean sweep of Derek this year if he were to accomplish that. So
I'll need it with someone with a similar record as me going into the playoffs to have a few sweeps.
Yep. All right, should be a good one. All right, next we've got the Purple Bleeders, who are 6-5, and they're going to take on the Cleveland Steamers, who are in first place in a 7-4. The series is tied 5 apiece in this one as well. But Rob did beat Lance early in the season. But Rob, man, he's got some buys to overcome as well. A lot. This is like the, I think the biggest bye week, week 12. I think this is the biggest bye week of most teams on buys. And so this is going to hit Rob as well, because he's going to have Josh Allen, Davante Adams, and Amari Cooper out. But Rob did have 3 players going last night on Thursday, and he got a total of about 60 points from his 3, which was okay, but nothing that should scare Lance. So Rob's going to need some huge games from Herbert, Henry, Collins, and Rashad White, which is very possible. But for Lance, he really only has Drake London out on a bye, so he's close to full strength. And he's got some great matchups here, especially at the top of his lineup. So Rob needs a few of Lance's marginal players to have duds. But I think Lance's QBs will be a deciding factor in the outcome, and I'm betting against them. So give me Rob in a barn burner.
I'm going to go the other way. I think he did okay Thursday. Najee didn't do well, but like he played both Pittsburgh running backs. Like he sacrificed a slot to get 30 points basically. And then Jerry Jeudy did okay. I just think that Lance's matchups are pretty good, and I think he'll be able to do enough. I don't know if Rob can get there with what he has. I mean, it's a good start, but I don't know. The Vikings against Chicago, I think, are they going to get a bunch of points there? I think they're going to get a bunch of sacks. I'm picking Lance based on Kittle going. Like, so if he can go, I feel pretty good about that. And then Kareem Hunt against Carolina, Kenneth Walker against Arizona. Like, it's... I just think Lance's matchups are good enough to get there.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And those are all good points, but I think you're forgetting something. I think you're forgetting one key important thing here about this matchup, and that's that Rob is the best team in the league. He's a hacksaw. He's part of the best alliance. Woo! He's going to win this in a...
beatdown.
Yes.
He's on a 3-game slide.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. I know. Speaking of being due, though, Rob's due, and so we'll see. But, hey, another critical matchup, and so we got that one. And this is the final matchup we're going to look at is the Intoxicated All-Stars are 6-5 taking on Scoop's Troop, who is 4-7. Jason is 5-4 all-time versus Joe, but Joe did beat him early in the season. So Jason goes into this matchup with just one bye, but it's a big one as it's Breece Hall. And so, however, he's going to have to do it also this week without Brock Purdy, who I saw just came out today, I believe. He's out for the shoulder injury. And so that's going to hurt. And so that's going to put a lot on the shoulders of Drake May and Caleb Williams if he chooses to plug him in. And neither one of those players have good matchups. In fact, they both have a bad matchup. So that doesn't look great. But for Joe, he's only got Garrett Wilson out on bye. And bring in, you know, Juwan Jennings and Josh Downs, both of whom are capable fill-ins who could have good weeks. And so I like that. I like CMC and Montgomery this week as well. So give me Joe here, as Jason just has too much to overcome, and this might put Jason in the toilet bowl with an L.
Yeah, I was going to pick Jason. I didn't know that Brock Purdy was out. And if that's the case, I think I got to go with Joey. You know, I was thinking, like, this is for San Francisco, this is, like, their kitchen sink game. Like, they need to beat Green Bay to, like, have a chance in the playoffs. So I felt good about the Niners players. But with Brock Purdy out, do you know who the backup is?
Oh, boy. No, I don't. I don't.
But, like even then, it's hard for me to pick, you know, Jason with Brock Purdy out. Maybe it'll work out, but I'm gonna go Joe.
I'm going to say Joe, too. I already picked Joe to start with, but knowing that Brock Purdy's going to be out and he's got two struggling rookie quarterbacks to fill him in, I'm going to go with Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So all our picks are down for week 12. And just a quick update and a quick caveat here. We did miss week 9 and 10 with the picks, but updated records. John is leading in the picks. He's 28 and 17. Nice record there. And I'm just behind him at 27 and 18. And then Levi struggled this year a little bit, 21 and 24. So overall, though, above 500 record for us combined. So, you know, that's something.
I don't know if that's something.
Well, I mean, it's better than we usually do.
Yeah, put it that way. Definitely dragging down the average this year.
Well, and it's usually me and John, but so that's there. And so we've got that down. Week 12 is going to be huge. And we look forward to it, but we're going to move on to the power rankings. We're going to do that next.
All right, everybody, let's get into the power rankings and also update you all on Derek's, I guess we're calling it the Basham Index, or we call it Derek's Index.
Yeah.
Since he, you know, he's sending them in and
he's doing the
just
work.
Just give a little update on different aspects of how teams are performing. But I'll start with power rankings. So still, like, I don't know how many weeks in a row. Well, we've had the bottom flip-flop, you know, between Victoria's Secret, John, a few times. And right now, John is at the bottom with 47.15. But several weeks in a row, Rob, number one, still, even after losing 3 weeks in a row. He's got 67.05, but the margin between him and number two is the least it's been in, you know, maybe a month and a half.
Mm.
But we'll get to that in a little bit. So since John is number 10, that means Amanda's number 9, 48.1. Almost a full point ahead of John. So power rankings... see a little bit of a divide between them. But after Amanda, there's a 3-point jump, 51.1 for Jason and Scoop's troop. I think they're starting to gain a little bit more confidence in Jason. I'm sure if he wins this week somehow after having an injury, and then I think he may make a jump and possibly could be 7th. But coming in at 7th, like in between... let's see, in between 7 and 2 basically is like 3 points, almost like 3.5 points. Like all of these teams are 6 and 5. And at number 7 is Lance, team Purple Leaders, 57.5, despite being, let's check the standings.
Yeah, he's 6 and 5.
He's 6 and 5. He's in the 4 spot, but the computers think that he's the 7th best team.
I would agree.
Yeah, computers know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about there. And coming to number 6 was a little surprising here because this team has scored a lot of points. It probably will look pretty good on the Basham Index, but they're number 6. And that is, conveniently, how does this team look good on the back? The Houdinis coming in number 6. Wow,
hanging on, just...
58.9 points. And it's got to be the losses, kind of not being, like, feast or famine. But, like, he's only 0.1 away from the 5th team. So, like, this is, like, these, like, next 3 teams are, like, just so close together. Anything could, like, change that from one to the other. Which comes to the 5th team, coming to 59 even, Slop Nasty.
Wow. A little surprising.
Yeah. So, right now, the Houdinis are 3rd, and they're coming in 6th. And then Slop Nasty is 5th in standings. fifth in the power rankings. So, they seem to have their thumb on the pulse of what Snot Nasty is, which is fifth. Now, I think this is the most surprising, possibly, in my opinion. Number four, 59.7, is Intoxicated All-Stars at four. Where right now in the standings, they're seventh. Like, they're just outside the playoffs. But, man, computers think that Joey could make a push, or that they're strong enough to maybe to be in the playoffs. So... that's something to think about with Joey. Like, I think Joey does. If you ask him, he does feel good about his team. Just maybe some bad luck, playing the wrong players, or not playing the wrong teams at the wrong time. But you know, he still has a good chance of making the playoffs. And just right there, number three. This and for me, like, it's what plants crave. 60.4. I expected a bigger drop for mine because I've been second basically for like 2 or 3 weeks, and it's my second loss in a row, and I've only dropped to three, so the computer still have a lot of confidence in me. Maybe it's about how many points I scored last week despite losing. Like, I would have beat almost any other team. Like, only would have lost to two other teams, and one of them I played. So they're still keeping me high. But I don't know if anybody's doing the math at home. There's one team we haven't mentioned yet, and that puts them at two with Rob. And that's Black Sunday.
Hacksaws, baby.
So we got the Hacksaw. The computer thinks the Hacksaws are one and two.
Of course they do.
I don't know.
Rightful place.
I don't know what happened. I think we all need to do better. So, yeah, we all need to do better. I don't know, but you're coming in number two, 61.9. You're only 5.15 away from Rob.
Well, and that's I almost hate this because I spent an entire season drumming on about this narrative, this comeback narrative, and I'm glad it didn't really kind of get to that same degree that it did a year ago. But I did start out 0-3. Let's not forget, I was 0-3 and being made fun of, and I think I was eighth or ninth in your power rankings at one point. And so I'm happy to be second right now after that start, and be sitting up there with my alliance mate in first and second place. Mm-hmm. But
if these were my power rankings, which are like this computer, I would have you higher than Rob. Like,
okay,
well, you've been consistently scoring, like, you know, lots of points for, you know, at least a month now.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, there really isn't. I was thinking about this too. There really isn't. Like, last year, you were kind of clear. Well, you and John were kind of clearly a cut above the rest. It hasn't been that this year.
No. It's kind of spurts. It's like, if you look at it in certain parts of the season, and it's everyone's regressing to the mean.
Yeah.
And like, if you're doing good, you kind of have a slump, and then if you're doing bad, you come up a little bit, and that's kind of reflected in all these 7 and 6 win teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then no real, like, at this point, like, I think at this time last year, you could probably, like, anybody would have guessed either me or John winning the league.
Yeah.
This year, I don't know
who you'd guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say me because I've got the most points, but I don't know. I just don't feel like there's that separation.
Yeah. But yeah. This is getting super close. Right now, the computers think that the playoffs is Cleveland Steamers, Black Sunday, It's What Plants Crave, Intoxicated All-Stars, Slop Nasty, and the Houdinis, with Team Purple leaders being just outside.
I like that.
So, I don't think anybody can complain for them picking that. And no. Maybe Lance, but Lance has to win more.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that'll do it for power rankings. We'll move on to Derek's index. Now, I don't have how many wins each person had this week specifically. Maybe I'll ask Derek to get that, just be who was the highest win total. Which, well, we know that that was Derek would have won 9 and you would have won 8.
Yeah, I think.
I'm not going to go back and go with everyone else, but it's high scoring there. But we'll show how many wins each team would have going in this. And number one is the Houdinis with being 65-34, averaging 227 points per game. Number two, Black Sunday, with only one win behind, 64-35. But you have a much higher average, 236 .4. So you're almost a full 9 points averaging above Derek, which and then like below Derek, there's not anybody in the 220s. So the you two have been scoring the most points for sure. I mean, those points are gone now, but that's kind of like a little nice litmus test of what's to come. Both of you are have 60 wins. Next is the Purple Bleeders with 52 wins. So that's 12 wins lower.
Dang.
So 52-47 is Purple Bleeders, averaging 215. And that's the next highest scoring. And then at number four, Slop Nasty with 51. So 51-48, averaging 210. So, Union Brothers, 3-4. And then number five is Cleveland Steamers with 49 wins. So he's 49-50. This is the first losing record. And that's number five. So there's only four teams that would have a winning record.
Wow.
Which makes sense with all these, like, you know, seven win teams, like six win teams. Like, nobody's being able to, no one's able to, like, keep those high scoring weeks for long. So Cleveland Steamers with 49-50, averaging 211. Next is we got a two-way tie at 46-53. Farewell to Hope is 46-53, averaging 200 points, which is the lowest. So John's been able to capitalize. We talked about it this last week where he's had those boom weeks where he got those 9-win weeks.
Yeah.
And that's helped him stay afloat. But he has the lowest average points. And then Scoops Troops is 46-53 with 211.9, which is a tenth of a point higher than the Cleveland Steamers. So Scoops Troops, despite being 4-7, averages more points than the number one team in the league. So yeah. Football's funny. Next is with 43 wins, 43-57 losses, is It's What's Plants Crave, averaging 208. I haven't really had a lot of like high scoring weeks. I've kind of had average weeks, so I've never really had like the big like 9-win, 8-win week. I don't think. Like I would bet my highest win week is the 7 or 6.
Yeah.
I'm still, despite doing that, I'm still kicking, still around within striking distance. No one's gonna be surprised if I win again this year. They're just gonna be disappointed and upset, but not surprised. At 42-57 is the Intoxicated All Stars. They are averaging 207.8. Like a little surprising, like with Joey, like having just as many wins. He's kind of been in the same boat as me. Like, we have just as many wins as almost everyone else, and we're able to capitalize on that. And then in last place, 36-62 is Victoria's Secret, but she's averaging 209, which is more than three other teams.
Weird, yeah.
You know, and you and Derek have more wins than Amanda has losses. So that's like you've been able to cap that a little more. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting
little take. I feel like that's so weird to me that you and Derek are like dominating that. Like, it's almost not even close. You have 12 wins more than the next one and like 20 more points than them. But like, I don't know. I feel like at least since I've been like around for the podcast, like other than the 1 year that Derek won the thing, the other, like last year and this year, he's kind of been average. And then and then all three of the years, this year not as much. But especially the first 2 years, you have had to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That's just weird. I'm
sick and tired of having to do that.
The information you're getting is like almost like skewed a bit. Because like, I would say my year, last year, and Derek's year, the 2 years are like, we're like the highest scoring team won. That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time, it's just a team that was hot in December, or like they just had good matchups, like they got in and then they, you know, their team was able to like catch fire for 3 weeks. That's what happens most of the time.
That's what Joey did that when he won it.
Yeah, I did that 1 year with like, I think I had a losing record. That might have been Derek, who like I just picked up some random players and they did good. that's more likely. That's more of the fantasy football. The randomness is what comes into play. And but yeah,
pickups.
Yeah, let's get to pickups. We talked about this a little off air. So the number one player picked up again is Xavier Worthy. You got him for $302. How do you feel about that?
You know what? I saw him out there, and I've been looking for that third receiver to plug into my lineup because I've got, you know, I do have Jameson Williams, but Waddle is really just not, he's not been turning out good performances. So I feel like I wanted another guy to plug in there. And I like having it's the reason why I like having Jameson Williams type players because, and like even with Derek, like he plugged in MVS the last 2 weeks. Kind of big play guys. I like to have one or two of those in my receiving lineup for bye weeks because it gives me an opportunity to have a guy. If the rest of my team goes off, you know, and then I have this, you know, third, fourth receiver that I plug in who's capable of, you know, getting a 60-yard touchdown, you know, that could really be a big boon. So, I don't know. It was a shot in the dark. Plus, I have plenty of money. I haven't really been super aggressive on the waiver wire. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to shoot my shot with Worthy and hope that he has a nice end of the season.
Yeah. I think that's more the about having so much money. That's more the case this week because there are a lot of players with the picked up that like, it was like, wow, that's a lot of money on that player. With like, you just have that money. You only have like 2-3 weeks to like use that money basically. Yep. So like, you got to get the players you can get. Like, you picked up Xavier Worthy for $302. John tried to get him for $207.
Yeah.
Will Levis got picked up for $238. That's a lot there. It's a lot there.
But like you said, she has the money, you know.
Yeah, like you need a quarterback, you go for it. Like Jonas Smith got picked up for $193 from Rob.
Yeah.
And like I keep going back to this. He's got to be kicking himself for dropping.
Oh, 100%.
For Brock Bowers. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That was a bad decision. I think Rob would say, if he were here, he'd say the same thing. But I tell you what, Jonnu Smith, the last 2 weeks, he's been better than Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
He's been a good tight end.
Right. Like, yeah. He's been the number two.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a massive touchdown?
Like, yeah, he had 45 last week, which I guess that's why I picked him up. Like, you're not going to get that from him every week, but he has the potential of doing that, you know?
Sure. And for whatever reason, Tua's return, he's locking in on Jonnu Smith.
Yeah. What else happened? Lance picked up Trey Benson, dropping Travis Etienne. And I ended up picking up Travis Etienne for free. Which, like, you know, it's running back. Yeah. I know he's been awful. We'll see how that goes, I guess.
Well, Trey Benson the last 2 weeks has had 19 and 18 points. So he's coming along here a little bit.
I think I think Lance may be trying to read some tea leaves, like with James Conner. Like, James Conner hasn't missed a game this year, which, like, yeah, if he doesn't miss a game, that'd be the first time that happens. So I think we may be holding on, getting him, you know, protect, you know, boxing out a handcuff for Derek.
Yeah, not a bad move at all.
So yeah, I like that. Other than that, there's some defenses that picked up. John got the Steelers, and he dropped Kirk Cousins. I think he's mad at Kirk Cousins.
Oh, he's big mad at Kirk Cousins.
For that. I mean, he went up against the best defense in the league, or arguably the best defense in the league, and in Denver.
If you need a quarterback, then, I mean, Kirk Cousins is, I mean, you kind of roll the dice with him every week. But.
Yeah. So, yeah. But he got Steelers for 57. Three other teams try to get the Steelers. They're probably all thankful that John bid more on the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So they only got, three last night? Or what was it? Or they got 10. Oh, that's not bad then. Yeah, no, that's doable. But maybe you expected more. Let's see. What any other activity?
I dropped Deontay Johnson. And I only mention that because, I mean, he is a pretty big name in fantasy circles, but, I mean, he has done nothing at Baltimore. And I don't know that he's happy there. I don't know that that's going to work out.
Yeah.
Pick up at your own risk.
Right. I think he just doesn't have the opportunity. Like, I love the talent.
Yeah. But,
like, I don't know why they got him.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did they acquire him and then just sit him on the bench? Like, I don't know. It's
a weird thing. There's some quarterback pickups. Joey he picked up Stafford back up, dropping Jameis. Amanda dropped Zach Moss to pick Tommy DeVito.
DeVito.
With Daniel Jones getting released, I think.
Maybe take a shot. He needs it.
There's some good matchups. That he might be an okay play.
I think I'd probably rather have Kirk Cousins than Tommy DeVito.
That's true. I think when she picked up Tommy DeVito, I think Kirk Cousins had been dropped, so he would have went back on waivers. So maybe she was okay just going up and picking up the quarterback now.
Fair.
I want to mention this. John drops Keenan Allen, which, speaking of another guy, he's probably mad at. You know, he's been plugging him in a couple weeks, and he's just not.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Keenan Allen may be washed. We'll see. But he picks up Westbrook Akeen from Tennessee. I think he had a good week 2 weeks ago, or I don't know. But
he's a big play guy.
He's
kind of like what you were talking about with Worthy. I think he's in that same ilk.
Yeah.
That'll do it for pickups and power rankings. We'll move on to the mailbag next.
Okay, everybody, we're going to wrap up the show and get into the mailbag. We just have one question this week, and it actually comes from John. He writes, I saw this on the interwebs, and it was said to be the best scoring format. So here is his proposal for any potential changes in the CFL as far as scoring format. So half point PPR instead of our full point PPR. Here's where it gets interesting. A half point per carry. And then a half point, which this is interesting too, half point per first down, whether it be a pass, catch, or run. And he writes in parentheses, I'm not sure we could even do that one. So what are our thoughts on this? Half point PPR, half point per carry, half point per first down.
I like the half point per carry.
Do quarterbacks get that?
Per carry? I would think.
Yeah. I think it still puts running quarterbacks as pretty strong in our league.
Yep.
I do like the first down points for sure. If we do that, we take away the point per reception and add a half point per carry. that makes running backs a little, like, if we think that running backs are, or that are not as good as wide receivers, that could balance it out a little bit, make more emphasis on running backs. But yeah, I definitely like the first down points. Like, I feel like that it helps, like, the, you know, the if you're getting a lot of, like, I feel like you should get more rewarded for, like, marching down the field.
I love that.
Big play.
Yeah. I love that, but this was the one he put a caveat, not sure we could even do that one. I don't know that ESPN can track that.
ESPN, I don't think can do that. We'd have to, either ESPN have to update or we'd have to move to some other.
But usually app. When, like, you're watching the game, doesn't it say pass to the right for, like, a 4-yard reception for first down or something like that?
It does say the first down, but, like, whenever you're going, you're a commissioner and you look at the scoring points, there isn't, like, an option that says first down, such and such points. Like, that needs to be in there to, like, track how many points that is. Like, for example, with Rob, with yards, 1 yard is 0.2 in our league, where in the default, it's 0.1. There's no option to do that. Like, ESPN could easily update that. But
you would think.
But I don't think they can do that. But, like, I think we'd have to go to some complicated, more stream, like, better fantasy app, like Sleeper, or I don't know if anybody else, maybe Yahoo can do it, or there's a bunch of different apps. But, you know, people don't like moving to other apps, so that I think that's the biggest hurdle.
My when I first read this question, my first thought was, we're going to have 400 bombs if we keep adding all this.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, wait a minute. Because we are reducing it from a full point PPR to a half point.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I can't do the math in my head how that would factor in. But
we'd have more points, but I don't think it'd be super noticeable. Like,
yeah.
Like, the biggest points thing would be the first downs. If we just went to half point PPR and half point carry, I don't think we'd notice too much. Maybe
your running backs.
Maybe you're picking running backs a little earlier, or, like, you know, then, like,
the, I mean, like, because, like, a running back could have, like, 50 carries and, like, 50 yards, but still have, like, a pretty good game. Then,
I mean, if, you know, they get 50, if they get 50 carries, they're dying.
Oh, 25. 25 is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
25. Yeah. So that's an extra. That's an extra 12 points for a running back.
Yeah, no,
if you get 25.
25 is a lot, though.
That is a lot.
Most aren't getting 15 to 18. I think is pretty standard.
Which would be like
for a starting running back.
Points, like five.
Yeah, let me find Derrick Henry here. How many? Let's see. He's probably getting the most carries.
Well, that would balance out receiving running backs and.
Yeah, he's gotten 25 and 20. He's gotten it in between. He's higher 23 and up 4 times. But other than that, he's gotten 18 in the teens.
Yeah, and that's
so, like, that's start, you know, that's an extra 7,
something like that.
7 points, 7 to 10 points, for a running back.
Yeah, and then you throw in, I don't know, maybe they have 3. Maybe that 4 first down runs, there's 2 extra points.
Yeah. I think it throws it more into the running back picks.
I think the first downs.
The math, but yeah.
I think the first downs will help quarterbacks more than anything, right? Because they're going to get almost every pass. They're going to get every passing first down.
Yeah. Yeah, they're more likely to get most. I don't know how many. I'd have to look up how many. What average, like, somebody gets a first down.
I think 18 or 20 first downs is a pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, that's total first down, so.
Yeah.
Probably 10 to 12 first downs a game, maybe.
So.
That's 6-8 points, or 5-6 points.
Yeah. It's interesting. I would definitely not be opposed. Like, I wouldn't vote against it if people, you know, wanted to do it. The only hurdle is that I don't. For the first down portion, like, ESPN can't, doesn't have the capacity to do it yet.
Yeah.
We send in a petition of officially signed by a podcast to ESPN.
Oh, that'll get it. Yeah, that'll get everybody's attention.
I'll write the president next.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's interesting. I know Rob did send out a text prior to that saying that he would put that up to be voted upon during the off season. So, yeah, it's something else to chew on, think about.
Yeah. But the main thing to think about if you're leaning yes or no is, are you willing to go to a different app? And if that's yes, then you probably should do it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't either. I mean, I have other leagues, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I mean,
I could try to move my other leagues over there to wherever we go if I had to.
Okay. I have a quick update, just some legacy statistics here. I thought this was interesting. So I think I mentioned this before, but I got curious early in the season, now that we've been in alliances for a couple years. And so I thought I put together kind of the head-to-head alliance versus alliance statistics. And so here we go. Number one, as far as this is the best winning percentage, versus the other alliances. So the Strong Arms have won 52.7% of their matchups. They are 99-89. They are 45-31 versus the Shaky Babies. So there's that. They are in the leader there. The Union Brothers come in second at 77-72, 51.7% win percentage. And they are 33-24 versus the Shaky Babies. That's their best matchup. Third is the Hacksaws. We are 73-77, a 48.7% wins percentage. And our best is the Strong Arms. We're 34-23 versus the Strong Arms. And finally, the Shaky Babies, they are 89-100, 47.1% winning percentage. And their best is they're 34-22 versus us, the Hacksaws. So I don't know, just thought that was interesting. And there's a little bit of a discrepancy between total games, just because like the Union Brothers only have two members, so they're not going to have as many, you know, games in their head-to-head. And it's Hacksaws were the same. And so, there's that. I mean, other than that, I don't really have anything else. I know we talked about mentioning some of the playoffs coming up and projecting into that.
Yeah, that'll be coming soon. It'll probably depend on if anything shakes out after this week. It's still super close, so right now it'd be a lot of work to do. But keep in mind, I'll have the playoff outcomes available to people that want them. We'll have that. We'll see how that goes next week. If there's any teams that have been eliminated, that'll probably help the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be coming soon. And we have Thanksgiving next week, so
yes.
We probably won't be able to have a podcast before the Thanksgiving games. We'll mm-hmm. have it, you know, out the normal time.
There's three games on Thanksgiving day, and then there is a game that following day on Friday. So yeah, I mean, we'll have at least three games in the books before we do our podcast. So that may kind of shape the way we are picked.
Do our picks, yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's only one time a year that happens. Actually, I don't know. I think around Christmas there's some wonky games too.
Saturday games.
Yeah, it starts getting into Saturday games. So we'll have that to discuss, but, here we are, we're coming up down the stretch, and it's been a good season. Just looking forward to who's going to be in, who's going to be out.
Yeah.
And, anything else?
No, I think, we'll hopefully have a good playoff scenario coming up.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch y'all next week.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, Chaos Fantasy Footballers. We were here this week without John, and he was sorely missed, but he'll be back in his chair for next week's pod. But this week promises to be dramatic as three teams are playing for their playoff lives, with the rest of us jockeying for position in playoff seeding. Rob still holds onto the top spot, but his perch is starting to get a little shaky with six teams breathing down his neck. So, wherever you are in the standings, remember, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember, nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.